Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I remember running into James Brown shortly after he was sworn in as Montana's state auditor or the commissioner of securities and insurance. Ran into him in Helena when we were there for co-op days at the Capitol. I was like, man, I can't wait till we get you on the show again, you know, a few months down the road after you've settled into the office, because we have got to do a big show talking about rising insurance rates. I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about property taxes. Well, coinciding with that, if you think your property taxes are going up, have you seen what's going on with, the insurance costs for homeowners? And then you've got the California problem where we got to pay California prices because of the California problems. How do we break Montana away from that whole set of challenges? But either way, great to have Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, James Brown, back in the house with us here on Montana Talks. Jim, good to see you.
Yeah, good morning on this rainy day in Billings. It's been a while since I've been on, but it is a good time to catch up. We got a lot of things going on at the commissioner's office, and then you and I have an event coming up in June.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I almost feel guilty right now looking at this rain and looking at these clouds, because I just flew Cape Air up to Glasgow over the weekend for a beautiful wedding up there. But man, is eastern Montana dry. It was just tough to see how dry it was, just especially flying over. And in great flight via Cape Air, by the way, as well. But they could really use that moisture, because south central Montana really sucked up a lot of the moisture over the winter, and now getting a little bit more right now as we speak. You're doing a bit of a listening session right now. In fact, you'll be in Billings this afternoon at the Stockman Bank West. If anybody wants to come down and see and talk about the very topics we're going to be covering here today, where else are you headed over the next few days?
Yeah, so as you stated, I'll be at Stockman Bank West from 3 to 4 today. What I'm doing is a community conversations tour, which is a listening tour across Montana, to talk a little bit about what the auditor's office does, because honestly, one of the questions I often get when I'm out speaking to folks is what exactly does the auditor's office do? Of course, we regulate insurance and securities, and in typical government fashion, we don't actually audit anything. So appropriate name for the office. But I'll be speaking to the Rotary here in Billings about 11:30 today. And then tomorrow I'll be down in Red Lodge holding one of these community conversations. And then I'll be headed to Columbus. And then I'll be headed to Big Timber and then Livingston. And then I'll finish this tour speaking to the Convenience Stores Association in Anaconda on Wednesday.
Yeah, great. And then I'm excited. We're going to see you in Big Sky. You are actually hosting. Montana is serving as host for all of the insurance commissioners from all across the country are going to be gathered in Big Sky, and we're going to be there. We're going to do the show from there. I think you'll be our sidekick for that coverage.
Yes, that's right. I'm pretty excited about it. So what this is, pretty big deal. It's the the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, of which Montana is one of the members. Obviously, it's the 50 state insurance commissioners plus the territories. Do we need to go?
That's going to be a great conversation. Yeah, well, let's talk insurance rates and more right after this with James Brown.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Jim, James Brown, State Auditor, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. I'm really excited to join not only you, but all of the insurance commissioners from all across the country, because, man, with the Biden inflation over the last 4 years, you know, when things cost more, then obviously it costs more money to replace things. And so the price of everything goes up. You know, you mentioned being at Stockman Bank in Billings later this afternoon for one of your listening sessions. I did one of our Bidenomics event at that great little bakery in Miles City. And so we had, you know, folks from, you know, all the downtown businesses, the banks, the insurance businesses, the restaurants were popping in to say hi. And the gals that work in insurance, you know, because we were talking about inflation, they said, oh yeah, it's hitting us too, because when the cost of everything goes up, the cost to replace it goes up. And then you get all these people that are mad at us because they think that we're just willy-nilly raising their insurance rates. But it's like, no, because the cost of everything goes up, we have to raise insurance rates. So I'm interested in hearing not only your take, but really what all these other national insurance commissioners have to say coming up here, well, in just a few days, a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, as you stated, so Montana is a member of what's called NAIC, which is the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. This association, if you can believe it, has been around for about 150 years. United States really started regulating insurance companies in the 1870s, 1871, in fact, is really when the standard setting and regulatory support for regulating insurance came into effect. And if you think about it, that's really not that long ago. But anyway, very pleased that Montana will be hosting up at Big Sky, as you stated. The insurance commissioners from all around the country will be having our annual summer meeting up there, and we'll be talking about many of the things that you just referenced, particularly cost drivers. You mentioned one of the things that's certainly happening in Montana in terms of what's happening to homeowners insurance costs. So the one thing that I have heard continually in the 5 months that I've been state auditor when I go out and talk to people is we have a cost crisis in this country. I mean, that's the best way to put it, right? As you stated, everything's rising. Energy prices are rising, food prices are rising, insurance costs are rising. It's becoming more and more difficult.
Then all those numbers are getting better now in the last couple of months, huh? I wonder what happened in Washington, D.C. to help on that front. But nonetheless, there was such a big pileup, you know, for over the last 4 years that we're still trying to figure out how to dig our way, get our way out of that hole that was dug, right?
Yeah, you and I talked about this when I was running last year about how the numbers showed that because of Biden inflation, the average cost to the Montana family was what, about $12,000 to $14,000 as a result of Biden policies. But as you stated, you know, in terms of take homeowners insurance costs, for example, as you stated, one of the things that's happened is that property values have increased in Montana. As we've seen more and more people come into the state, the value of property has increased. And of course, in order to get insurance to properly cover the actual property value of your property, well, your premium is going to go up. So, you know, if you bought a house in Montana in 2010, for example, for, you know, $210,000, that house could be worth $550,000 now. And so the replacement cost, which is reflected in your premium, has gone, you know, from $210,000 to $550,000.
Yeah, a few years ago, I would have just Googled it. You know, I would have Googled, hey, what are insurance rates looking like in Montana? But Google is broken. Google does their best to not get you information instead of to get you information. So I went to Grok, Elon Musk's AI platform, and it says this: homeowners across Montana and the West are seeing their insurance premiums rise. Some studies reporting a 44% increase in Montana over the past 5 years. And part of that is because we've had so many people that fled these other states to come to freedom-loving states like Montana. And then, of course, property values go up. And so, but yeah, does that number sound accurate? About a, you know, on average, maybe a 44% increase just in homeowners insurance rates alone?
Yeah, I would say that's probably looking back to 2018 to 2019. You know, there's several reasons for these rate increases. One is that Montana rates have probably historically been a little bit underpriced and are now catching up. As you were mentioning, the L.A. A fire situation and land management in other states, believe it or not, has an impact on insurance rates in Montana, because the way that reinsurance is priced is that it's not, you know, local to a state, for example. It's a national. And so when these companies are having to pay out billions of dollars in losses like happened in California because of poor land management decisions, well, then Montana customers have to pay through it for the reinsurance. And more companies are rating based upon wildfire risk scores now because of the amount of wildfires we're seeing in the West. Again, I attribute a lot of that to poor land management in the West. And then, as you stated, cost to replace a house have skyrocketed. Montana a few years ago, cost to build a house was about $100 a square foot. Now it's about $300 per square foot. You know, in some place like around Flathead Lake, I understand it's about $1,100 per square foot. I can think about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then it's across the board. Just like the price of everything went up across the board, it's not just homeowners insurance. I've even noticed, you know, being a military veteran, you know, I kind of relied on USAA over the years. And that doesn't even seem like the deal it once was once upon a time. I was talking with an independent insurance agent over the weekend, and he said, well, that's the beauty of being an independent agent is I can go shop around and look at a whole range of different options because everybody's seeing it. I know we talked last year about how there was this stupid report that came out that said, well, the reason insurance rates are going up in Montana and the Rocky Mountain West is because of climate change. And it's like, actually, no, it has nothing to do with climate change. It comes back to California, and it comes back to bad wildfire policies. And basically, we're paying the penalty for being included with California when it comes to how they set these rates. So how do we fix this? How do we break Montana away from that? Anyway, stand by. More to follow with the state auditor, James Brown, and your phone calls. We'll start with a caller next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, let's see. Yeah, we should talk about the Supreme Court stuff here in Montana as well with James Brown. Of course, he was a candidate for the Montana Supreme Court before getting elected state auditor. And then, of course, was the president of the Montana PSC as well. Dylan Montana's own. In fact, you got to go get some coffee. I've got Dylan Montana coffee going right now. 82 Coffee Company coffee. It's some good stuff. It's the dark blend too. Can you handle the dark blend? Can you hang, Jim?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, grow up in and around agriculture. That's all you drink, right? Is the sludgy stuff.
You've had to drink some tougher stuff while hanging out with the wool growers, anyway. Of course,
well, that's true.
Over the years, representing the Montana Wool Growers Association. Well, let's jump right into the phone lines. I think Greg Franks in Billings was tracking kind of a question that I had as well, but he's probably got much better details to throw this question towards Jim. Greg, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks.
Hey, James, last year when you were running for office, you had said that you're going to try or work at getting Montana separated from states similar to, let's say, California, Washington, and Oregon, putting us in a pool of states as far as insurers to where it could drop rates where we're not paying for the same costly mistakes like they did in the L.A. wildfires. I wanted to know what your progress on that was and what the exact process of that would be. Is that a legislative thing, or is that something that you'd have to talk to National Insurance Commissions? I don't know exactly how that works.
Great question. Yeah, Greg, thanks for the call.
Yeah, that is a great question. The answer is both, working with the Montana legislature on legislation and then working with my fellow commissioners on regulation. So really good news coming out of the Montana 2025 legislature. I know there's been a lot of dogging on the legislature.
We've heard enough about the bad news. What's the good news?
Well, we have good news, honestly. You know, some good things got done that's been overshadowed. Two bills I want to talk about that I think are really going to help Montana homeowners and their homeowners insurance policy. So House Bill 136 passed. This allows a premium discount to homeowners who to undertake certain mitigation factors to protect their property from wildfire. So believe it or not, until the 2025 legislative session, it was unlawful for an insurance company to provide what's known as a rebate or a reduction in the premium if you mitigated your own property to reduce the risk. This bill takes that provision out of Montana law. So now homeowners who take actions to protect their home can get a discount to mitigate against fire, wind, and hail. It's a great bill. And then wildfire risk scoring is a big deal. This is a lot of the insurance companies are now basing their premium amount on. Previously to the session, a lot of the insurers were just using their own type modeling, if you will, to determine what wildfire risk is, and then not telling the consumers what their risk was for purposes of increasing their premium so that you could challenge it, essentially. House Bill 533 passed. And this is a bill that requires insurers that use a wildfire risk score to provide the requester with certain information about how the wildfire score was calculated in order to enhance transparency so that, you know, you as the consumer can determine whether or not really that's an accurate.
But before I forget, the one you mentioned coming out of the legislature about how basically if you do fuel reduction fire mitigation efforts on your own house, your own land, your own private property, that that can help give you basically a discount on your insurance. That's really good news because I remember several years ago, we talk a lot about fuel reduction efforts on our national forests, on our state lands. The state does a much better job than the feds have typically done. And but in reality, I remember, you know, over a decade ago talking with a logger out of Libby, Montana, and that's what he does. He does fuel reduction efforts on private lands. And so this gives an incentive to hire those local loggers to help out on your private land, just like we're calling for on federal and state lands.
Absolutely. Well said. And then on the regulatory side, as I was talking about, we talked a little bit about this NAIC, the National Association I'm involved with. So what the commissioners across the states have done, and we're all seeing increases, if you will, in insurance across the board. So what we're trying to do is to create a center for modeling for insurance risk that would provide us as state insurance regulators with enhanced technical expertise, tools, and information regarding catastrophic models and the relevant perils for the region so that when we do reviews of these insurance company requests for premium increases, we can make sure that they're actually correct and justified.
I love this whole idea of how to partner up with other states, partner up as regions, because we've got some good folks now in South Dakota, North Dakota, and Idaho to a certain extent, Wyoming to a certain extent as well, that we can partner up with on this stuff. And the more we can break away from being under the cows, California, Oregon, and Washington, it's just going to help us across the board because, yeah, like Greg Franks mentioned there, that's why I'm really excited to go do our show from Big Sky with this NAIC so we can talk with other commissioners from other states about, A, what positive things they're doing to try to combat this, but B, how can Montana work together with them? Because, yeah, California has just been such a train wreck. I saw another thing that I pulled up from Grok here. Montana ranks second nationally for the percentage of homes at risk of catastrophic wildfire damage, with over 50% of properties vulnerable. And depending on how they do these studies, you never know how accurate are they, how accurate are they not. But not only do we have the fire risk in the West with the mountains and the forests there, but, you know, we've seen some pretty devastating wildland fires as well, especially if the feds allow those things to get out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, that's well said. And I mean, land use policies, I believe, starting in the 1980s and probably even earlier, but certainly the 80s were within my memory, is that when you stop managing public lands or national forests, then, of course, the risk of catastrophic loss is going to increase because you have the fuel load that is going to catastrophically burn. You mentioned something really interesting, though, so you talked about commissioners from regions getting together. That's exactly what happens. I'm pleased to say that the head of the NAIC is John Gottfried from North Dakota. Great guy. Used to play for University of Northern Iowa and was in the NCAA basketball tournament, actually, for a couple of years. And I'll introduce you to him, Aaron, up at Big Sky. But, I work very closely with my colleagues in Idaho, Utah, North Dakota, Wyoming, South Dakota on these issues to try to keep insurance premiums affordable for Montanans.
All right. Well, let's sneak in another caller here, 406-294-0970. If you want to jump in on the conversation with State Auditor James Brown, let's go to Ron in Big Fork. Very smart guy. Always enjoy getting phone calls from Ron. Ron, what's on your mind?
In the last 10 years, the Kalispell area, the Flathead, the crime is, in my opinion, gone through the roof. And the judges over here seem to do nothing about it. We just had an arsonist given a suspended sentence. So my question is, how much does crime, the increasing crime, push our rates up?
Great question.
That's a tough question, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, because I think about, you know, when we talked about inflation and people paying more for everything at the grocery store, for example, well, look at how San Francisco and some of these blue cities and states allowed criminals to run rampant, shoplifting to run rampant. Well, look, if you worked for a Walgreens or a CVS or one of these, you know, larger stores, and you're getting ripped off and losing money, they're going to pass that on to the customers. So crime has got to be a part of this equation.
Yeah, this is a great question, because people don't think about how everything is connected. You and I have talked about this for years together, Aaron, on this show, how, you know, just because something happens over here, it doesn't mean it doesn't have an impact somewhere else. So what's interesting about that question is several fold. As people will remember, I ran for the state Supreme Court in 2022, and part of the reason I ran was because I felt that the judges in Montana were not properly tough on criminals in the state, and the judge I ran against, or the justice in this case, was for the no cash bail, if you remember this, which would basically allow criminals, once they were processed, would to go right back out on the street. Unbelievable, right? This is a George Soros thing, and we have judges in the
state.
Not
to mention 21 million illegal aliens, criminals running rampant across the country, yeah.
And then to talk about crime, where we're seeing it at the Montana's auditor's office as we review insurance rates, you have cyber insurance, right? Nobody thinks about this, right, to make sure that you're properly protected against some kind of cyber attack and loss as a result of that. And I can tell you that the cost of cyber insurance is one of the fastest growing areas of insurance premiums, because this is a huge area of criminal intention and risk of catastrophic loss.
Yeah, because they can. There were some area hospitals that were hit within, the last couple of years. These hackers can come in, lock you out of all of your computers, all of your files, totally shut you down. And unless you pay a multi-million dollar plus ransom, good luck getting out of that one. Yeah, you haven't even thought about cyber insurance, but it makes sense. And I know we've got data centers here in the area that try to help people with, you know, mitigate those problems and things like that. We got about a minute or so before we go to our next break. By the way, Ron and Big Fork, you mentioned the Supreme Court elections. A Judge Amy Eddy just announced that she is going to run for the same seat that Judge Dan Wilson is running for next year. And Ron and Big Fork, that soft on crime reference that he just gave, Ron and Big Fork was the first to tell us how far left this Judge Amy Eddy is. And I think you can confirm that for us as well, right?
Yeah, I can. Obviously, I practiced law in Montana for about 17 years. I know Amy Eddy. Two things to say about her. One is that she is a trial lawyer. She's going to be strongly supported by the Trial Lawyers Association. You know how much they opposed me when I ran for Supreme Court. In turn, they're going to support her. But the second thing is that Judge Eddy factually is one of the most overturned district court judges in the state of Montana, even by the Montana Supreme Court.
Really?
Yeah.
So even though she's a far leftist, just like the Montana Supreme Court, because she doesn't get her facts straight, she gets overturned by similar ideology judges and justices.
She does. Yeah, that's a good. That's a good indication of her qualification, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see Dan Wilson running again, because yeah, he was the judge that stood up for freedom during COVID-19. All right, stand by.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
What is the state of the farm bill? That's a question so many farmers and ranchers are asking. I spoke this week with Idaho rancher Kim Brackett, who's vice president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We caught up during the Montana Stock Growers Association's mid-year meeting in Butte, Montana. And this is what she had to say on the farm bill.
Well, I think it's important to recognize we are almost in June of 2025. The House has spent 6 months getting their reconciliation bill across their finish line. We're now looking at the Senate and how much time that may take. So it feels like a really unlikely chance of getting a farm bill finished in 2025. However, in that reconciliation bill that the House passed, there are several farm bill provisions included in that, the ones that are tied to the federal budget. So we're pleased to see parts of that moving forward, but we're still focusing on maybe next year getting a full farm bill package across the finish line.
Now, if you recall, we are running on an extension of the 2018 farm bill, which will expire at the end of September. Policy experts expect another extension of the 2018 farm bill, which, of course, the 2018 farm bill was drafted and created around agricultural issues and statistics from way back in 2014, 2012, and 2010. Just something to think about as Congress continues to push back the advancement of a farm bill. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here with James Brown, the state auditor slash commissioner of securities and insurance. We've got phone lines open for you. If you've got a question or a comment, you want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Yeah, a bunch of different topics we can cover here this morning, but we always want to know what you want to talk about. Haven't gotten to the land board yet. There's been an uptick in oil and gas lease sales here in Montana. That's some good news, plus some more timber sales and forest management initiatives that are getting put to work for us as well through the state land board. DEI and how DEI out of Europe impacts insurance rates here in America. That's another topic we could get to. But first, Jim, I know you've been wanting to talk about investment fraud and some of the staggering statistics that we see with regard to investment fraud here in Montana. And one that you mentioned that's kind of interesting to me is you're seeing a lot of fraud now when it comes to cryptocurrency. Everybody wants in on the crypto game, but so it might be easy to get a little swindled in that regard.
Yeah, well said. And your intro into this section was really good because the auditor's office is a neat little office because I'm involved in all sorts of interesting things, as you stated, land board issue, bail bonds issue. We were talking about the no cash bail. Securities, yeah, we regulate securities in Montana. This is one of the more interesting aspects of the job, I believe. So our securities division encourages and promotes and facilitates Montana investment opportunities while promoting uniformity among the states. But one of the big roles we have there is that we do consumer protection for people in Montana. Unbelievable statistic for your listeners. So the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center released a recent report that in 2024, losses attributed to crypto crimes increased 66% in 1 year, up to $9.3 billion in loss for cryptocurrencies. We at the auditor's office, this is the number one area we're seeing growth in terms of consumer complaints is crypto fraud.
Are there some big names that are typically used, fake names? Like, what are the buzzwords to watch out for when it comes to cryptocurrency scams? And what are the good ones? What are the bad ones? What are the good ones? I don't know if you can weigh in on that.
I really can't, obviously, as the regulator. But I will tell you this. The one thing that I would encourage anybody who gets some kind of unsolicited text or unsolicited phone call, this is the way that these crypto scammers try to make contact. And then what they try to do is establish some kind of personal relationship with you. It's kind of like the old confidence game, if you will. And then what they do, what we're seeing is that they'll take one of the legitimate, if you will, crypto companies. But what they'll do is they'll mask their website or whatever as it's the legitimate one so that you can do the research and see that it's one of the legitimate companies, if you will. But really what you're doing is you're giving money to a scammer who's masked it.
Well, you've got to be really careful online. Even things like booking a hotel. Like I remember I was booking a hotel in Helena once, and it was like I thought I was booking straight through the hotel itself, but then I quickly realized, like, wait a minute, this is some third-party booker that's going to charge me 30 more bucks for the same stinking hotel room when I can just call the hotel and book direct. But this is even worse because there'll be no room waiting for you. There'll be no cryptocurrency waiting for you on the other end. It's just complete scam artists stealing it all. And cryptocurrency right now, I mean, I know President Trump, he really wants to deliver some sort of a cryptocurrency framework because a lot of us, cryptocurrency is like this complete foreign language. We're like, what in the world is this crypto stuff? I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a caveman. So, but the idea here is that I hear a lot of people talk about XRP, you know, the American cryptocurrency, and that if the United States doesn't lead when it comes to setting up a crypto framework, that That will start to be used more and more for global transactions. And if the United States doesn't get in the game and doesn't lead, we could really start to fall behind.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Before we go into there, so I just want to let people know that where these crypto scams are coming from. So the Treasury Department just in the last month sanctioned a militia group out of Burma for facilitating cyber crimes, has prohibited U.S. financial institutions from working with a Cambodia-based group. And then, as you stated, a lot of these frauds are coming out of China. And as to turn to what you were talking about, the Chinese are trying to become the number one player in the world for promoting crypto use, because they want that. By the end of this century, digital payments is going to be the method of payment, right? It just is. We all know.
In a way, you could almost argue it already is. It's just, you know, Visa card, debit card, credit card, Venmo, whatever. So, like most scams, is it the seniors and the elderly that are getting hit with these crypto scams as well? And I say that because, man, you look at the demographics of Montana right now. We are a very, you know, senior demographic. The baby boomers that are all either in or approaching retirement, these scam artists will wipe out entire retirement accounts and take strip you of everything. And so whether it's the senior themselves or their kids that are trying to look out for them, that's why all this stuff is so key.
Yeah, so the two most vulnerable populations in Montana, as you stated, are the senior populations, of which, as you noted, Montana has a high senior population. But they're also looking for people that are isolated, right, who are lonely. And, of course, we have, as Senator Burns used to say, who we both worked for at one point, there's a lot of dirt between light bulbs in Montana. It's still true. So what they're trying to do is find people that are lonely and want to have communications. And these are two very vulnerable populations. That's part of the reasons that I'm doing this community conversation tour across Montana, is to alert people about the method that scammers try to endear themselves to.
All right. Well, speaking of crypto, looks like we got a caller on the phone lines with a great question. We've got Tanner in Bozeman. Tanner, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, I actually had a comment here. One of the big things that we've seen with crypto under the Biden administration is that the way he handled it really pushed all of these good innovations along with the bad innovations overseas. And one of the great things that we're seeing from the legislature with the passage of SB 265 and with all the good work that Jim Brown's office is doing is we're starting to make Montana a destination for those good uses of crypto. And that way we can make sure that we're protecting consumers and not just doing business with all these countries overseas.
Yeah, in fact, I was at a Frontier Institute event. Tanner, is that the Tanner I'm thinking of on the phone lines here?
Yeah,
you're with the Frontier Institute. I hope it's okay. You know, because we let people call in anonymously too, but I think you're okay with us mentioning the Frontier Institute here. But I went to a great event that Kendall Cotton hosted here with CEI, the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We were talking about energy and data centers. And, you know, you think about the economic opportunity, especially for some of these rural communities. Okay, so we've got the energy. So now, you know, could we also benefit from these data centers? And then, hey, if you've got a data center, could you basically, you know, be powering the crypto from right here in Montana? And Tanner, summarize your question, though, once again, because I got quickly distracted there, of course.
Yeah, I mean, more of a comment, but, you know, my question, I guess, to Jim Brown would be maybe, Jim, if you could kind of go over some of the great work that your office is doing to attract some folks to Montana that are working in these high-tech areas. I think the listeners would love to hear about that.
I appreciate it, Tanner. Thanks. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, that's a softball question. So, Senator Zolnikov here, right here in Billings, and I worked with Frontier Institute to do SB 265, as he was saying. And this is really an amazing piece of legislation. This bill puts Montana on the forefront of properly regulating digital currencies. We'll be the first state, I believe, to my knowledge, to set up a framework so that these companies and entities that want to offer digital tokens can do so lawfully and in a regulated manner, which brings around, of course, legitimacy to their product, but it also helps us fight fraud. But the other thing that Tanner was talking about is this is a great way to bring capital into the state of Montana. It's very forward-thinking because we're going to have companies that, offer these digital tokens that might be housed overseas. They're going to now register to do business in the state of Montana and offer these products and bring capital into the state. I believe, as I stated, Montana is the first state to get out ahead of this.
You know, I was, as I mentioned, this reminded me, there was a story that I put on our Montana Talks website earlier this morning. It was written by Nick Northern. It's on our Montana Talks website right now. Seven Montana towns seeing people leave. You know, we see, you know, how our state's really getting overwhelmed with an increase in population in many parts of the state, Flathead, Gallatin. Some would say Yellowstone County as well here. Well, what are these seven towns that are losing population by the numbers? I'll share that right after this. And the reason why I share it is because as we talk about this economic opportunity on energy and on data and crypto, hey, maybe that's part of the answer here.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Ready, set, action. Not quite. There's now a trend on Capitol Hill. More and more congressional offices are prohibiting the shooting of video or recording in offices. They range from House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Brian Mast to former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and even backbenchers like Florida Republican Aaron Bean. The office of House Rules Committee Chairwoman Virginia Fox features a sign which shouts, "No photos or videos allowed inside without prior authorization." Some of the signs began appearing back in 2018. In recent years, political activists have tried to record video of lawmakers in their offices, confronting them and hoping they score something which goes viral. But shooting video in congressional offices scaled back during the pandemic and in the immediate aftermath of the Capitol riot in 2021. Many of the offices posting the cinema non grata warning are clustered together. And the no video signs come as other offices make a point of saying a particular office belongs to the people of a specific congressional district, or that the office is pet friendly. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, again, it all comes down to the numbers. I haven't taken a good, hard look at these numbers, but in general, we have seen rural parts of Montana have still been losing population as, you know, places like Gallatin, Yellowstone, and Flathead have been getting, some would say, overwhelmed. What are the seven Montana towns seeing the most people leave? Number seven, Wolf Point. Number six, Harlem. Number five, Shelby. Number four, Browning. Number three, Colstrip. Although, Jim, that could quickly turn around in the other direction. I mean, this potential energy hub in Colstrip, if we get one and two back up and running, Colstrip could start to see a pretty big turnaround if things go as I hope they do. Number two, Plentywood, and number one, Scobie, for the, at least according to this, whoever ran these numbers based off of the census numbers, those are the top seven towns seeing people leave, losing population. But man, energy and data, big opportunities for every single one of those communities, frankly, could be, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, a lot of this answer is informed by the fact, as you know, I served as president of the Montana Public Service Commission for 4 years before taking this job. Colstrip is a real asset to the state for multiple reasons, not only because it's a steady source of baseload energy, but also because of the transmission lines that come out of there. And so that, as you stated, that has the potential to be a huge energy hub. And, you know, one of the answers for declining population in eastern Montana is the answer that has always made Montana prosperous, and that is there's a reason we're called the Treasure State is because we have natural resources that we can use. What's unfortunate since the Clinton administration is the federal government's attempt to shut down the natural resources use and extraction right throughout the West, and it really started during that administration.
Yeah, and then you pile the DEI, all the woke stuff. They started with the gun industry and Second Amendment rights, and they said, well, hey, let's, you know, we can't outlaw guns and hit the Second Amendment head on. So let's use all these investment laws and let's use the SEC and let's leverage the private sector to shut down the Second Amendment. Well, they've been doing the same woke type of nonsense, DEI type policies when it comes to insurance markets. And this came up, I know you and I talked about it last year. I know former state auditor and now Congressman Troy Downing has talked a lot about this, but it's interesting because now woke is on the retreat. DEI is on a full-blown retreat because Donald Trump has just been pummeling this nonsense. And so have Republican governors like Governor Gianforte, for example. But that being said, the Europeans are still trying to push this woke DEI nonsense. And through third-party companies or mechanisms, whatever you say, we still could see increased insurance rates as a result of DEI policies in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this has been going on for years. We know in the Obama administration, they tried to encourage the financial sector to not bank gun manufacturers or ammunition manufacturers, right? And now what we're seeing, I'm seeing it as the commissioner of insurance in Montana. I see you know, as a lot of these woke guys try to encourage insurance companies now not to insure these types of things. But interesting you brought up Congressman Downing. One of the great bills that he has brought is a bill to repeal a federal office called the Federal Insurance Office. I didn't even know this thing existed until I became commissioner of insurance in Montana. But what it apparently is it's an office that is supposed to regulate insurance on the federal level. And they're supposed to be our liaison, the United States liaison to Europe. There's two problems with this office. One is that under the 10th Amendment, insurance is still regulated by the states, not the federal government. But the second thing is this is the way the Biden administration was trying to push some of these European DEI projects into the United States through our insurance companies, is through this FIO office.
Wow.
And so, yeah, Congressman Downing, to his credit, is on this and is trying to get that repealed, and I support that bill.
It's amazing how many DEI, God, I'm just thinking rat analogies, mice. I mean, you got to have rat traps everywhere in Washington, D.C. to doge the heck out of that place. Yeah, when you got some barely ever heard of federal office that's working with the Europeans to harm America. I mean, it was just yet another way where we saw America last initiatives coming out of the last regime in particular.
That's crazy. It is crazy. And so one of the things, I went to NAIC policy summit in D.C. in May. One of the things that we talked about is that if Troy's not able to get that file repeal bill, maybe we seek some kind of reform or one of the state insurance commissioners becomes the, quote, head of that agency so that we protect the insurance companies in the United States from these policies. But the thing that I keep coming back to in our conversations is I told you Troy allowed me to sit in at NEIC in the period between my election and swearing in Denver. And I told you that the first thing that I really attuned to was the fact that they had the DEI committee for this NEIC, and they were talking about not getting rid of the committee or what it's worth, just changing the name.
Yeah,
I told you building forward together or something, moving forward together committee. So it's not like the ideas have gone away.
Except for without you white guys. We will not move forward together if we have white guys as a part of it. So we've got to discriminate against all the white men. But they don't like the white women either, you know, because, I remember these liberals on the, this was another committee here in Montana. And the liberals on that committee were complaining that there were too many white women on the committee. And then they wonder why Doge went after Humanities Montana. Why, you a bunch of liberal nut jobs? You know? Too many white women. Oh, for Pete's sake. Jim Brown, great to see you as always. If we don't see you before, we'll see you in Big Sky here pretty soon.
So, yeah, sounds good. Yeah. I'm excited you're joining us.
All right, appreciate it.